Great to have you with us here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Larry Mueller here, and today we're going to start the show by taking a look at the health of your brain, talking about the relationship between your brain's health and the rest of your body with our two guests joining me by phone, Dr. Daniel Amen and Tana Amen. Dr. Amen is a board-certified psychiatrist, professor, a New York Times bestselling author, and an expert on using brain imaging tools to treat his patients, and he's written and hosted 11 shows about the brain for public television. Dr. Amen, welcome to the program.
So much.
With us as well, Tana Amen is a registered nurse and VP of Amen Clinics. She is the author of 6 books, including the New York Times bestseller, The Omni Diet. She's a health and fitness expert, national speaker, media guest, and has appeared on public television as well, promoting brain health. And Tana, thank you for joining us as well.
I'm so happy to be with you today.
And just for, as you listen to me talk with our guest today, you may have some questions about the link between your brain and your overall health. I hope you'll give us a call. Number to call, 1-800-642-1234. You can email us at talk@WPR.org or post a question on the Larry Mueller Show Facebook page. And I'm wondering, just to start out, you know, we hear so much about heart health these days, but, you know, I don't hear a whole lot about brain health in the media. Maybe, Dr. Amen, you can talk about why we hear so much about heart health but not brain health. Oh, did we lose our guest? Oh. Dr. Amen, are you there?
Yes, can you hear us?
Yes, now we can hear you. I'm wondering why we hear so much about heart health but not brain health.
Well, it's because we don't give the brain the love and respect that it needs. It runs everything and it works for, and when it's broken for whatever reason.
Oh, you know what? We are breaking up. And so what I think we're going to do, Jill, is call you back and see if we can get a little better line, because I'm just not getting into you. So let's have Jill call you back. Jill, you want to call back Dr. Amen and Tana, and we'll try this again just to see if we can see if we can get a better line here. And in the meantime, I'll just let you know what else is going to be on the show today. And the second part of the show relates quite well to this particular part of the show, because the next part of the show has to do with diabetes and overcoming diabetes. There's a new cookbook out. It's called The 4 Ingredient Diabetes Cookbook. So we'll be talking about that with our guest, the author of that book, Nancy Hughes. Right now, visiting and reestablishing a connection with our two guests for today's show, Daniel Amen, Dr. Daniel Amen, and Tana Amen. And I really enjoyed reading their book, to be perfectly honest. It's looking at the book jacket here, you know, when you're trying to live a healthy lifestyle, you know, sometimes every day can feel like a battle. There are kinds of forces out there that are working to destroy or limit our body and our mind. And some of this has to do with our standard American diet. And I know Tana Amen wants to talk about that. Dr. Amen can talk about as well the brain imaging tools that they both use. And so pleased to have them with us again. And Dr. Amen, are you there?
We are. Can you hear us?
Oh, yeah. Now you're coming through loud and clear. So that's what I'm glad we switched phones. You are, as we were talking about the fact that we don't think enough, perhaps, about our brains, but our brains control everything. And you use brain imaging tools to help treat your patients. How'd you get started on using those scans, and maybe talk about what a healthy scan looks like?
Well, it was 25 years ago, and, you know, most psychiatrists never look at the brain, but I had the opportunity to do it, and I was immediately hooked because it gave me more information to help my patients. And a healthy scan was actually my mom's scan, beautiful, full, even, symmetrical activity, big. And when I looked at mine, it wasn't good at all. And it really irritated me. I come from a very competitive family, and I developed something I call brain envy. I wanted a better brain. And the scans became so important that if I didn't look at someone's brain, I really didn't know what was going on with them. And it's through imaging that I realized I needed to get to a healthy weight. I needed to lose the bad food. I needed to sleep. I needed to love and care for my brain, or I wouldn't be my best. And when Tana and I started to date, well, the first thing I did was scanned her brain because I wanted to know what sort of trouble I was going to be in for.
Which, of course, I thought was a little odd that someone wanted to look at my naked brain first.
Well, how did her brain look?
It looked awesome. So I married her. And if you date one of my children, you have to get your brain looked at as well.
That's a wonderful story. And Tana, you come into this from a nutrition angle and a food angle, and food has a big effect on our brains, obviously.
Yes, and I didn't actually start this in order to write books or even to spread the news to other people initially. Initially, it was research I was doing to heal myself because I grew up very unhealthy, poor, unhealthy, lots of trauma and drama, and I was really sick kid and then got cancer in my 20s, my early 20s, and it had metastasized and kept recurring. And I was on 9 medications, became very, very sick and depressed. So at some point, I started really questioning with a science background, what is the role that lifestyle has? Because I wasn't taught that. What is the role that lifestyle have? What does it play? And how much control do we actually have through what we do, the environmental toxins, and food, and especially food? And the doctor told me, stop worrying about that. It's genetic, and you should be grateful for the medications you have, and maybe you need to see a psychiatrist so that you can accept what's going on. And I was so upset
by
that.
Which is not how we met.
Not how we met, just so you know.
I noted that in the book. You made a point of that right away.
Right. So, yeah, so I started it to heal myself. But it has become so powerful in my life, and I feel like God gave me a second chance. It's really my second chance, and to not share it would just, you know, not be right. It's just something I can't do.
Well, you became a brain warrior, as you like to talk about, or a real warrior when it came to your own life.
I really did. And it's something I believe in. And I love the warrior metaphor. I think it helps empower people to be an advocate for their own health.
Well, and we have a 13-year-old who also has Tana's genes for depression, diabetes, and cancer. And so we realize it's not just about us. It's about generations of us. And if you're not armed, prepared, and aware, what's happening in our society is not good for our health. The toxic products we put on our body, the toxic food, and you can win this war. It's not hard. You just have to have the right information and the right mindset.
Yeah, when people say it's hard, it frustrates me a little bit. I have to really work with them because, trust me, as somebody who's been really sick, what is hard is being sick. What's hard is not living out your dreams because you had to give them up. You had to quit your job or drop out of college or, you know, whatever your story is. That's hard. Doing this is a paradigm shift. It's a mindset.
And, you know, I what struck me as I read through your book, some of the images were quite interesting to me, the brain scan images, because it looks as though brains can be changed from, say, not so good to better.
Well, that's the exciting message of our lives. That's what we do, is we change people's brains and change their lives. I just saw someone yesterday who 6.5 months ago was depressed, had memory problems, and if you would have seen his scan, it looked like he has Alzheimer's disease. The scan scared him, which was good, and he did everything I asked him to do. And yesterday when I scanned him, his brain was better, his mood was better, his memory was better, and he's a warrior. Because he realized the war that he is in. And, you know, that's really the message of the Brain Warrior's Way, is you're not stuck with what you have, but you need to be serious about it. And when you see the war, then you can be armed, prepared, and aware.
And you need to be trained. You know, you don't show up on fight day and think you're going to win if you haven't been training every day. And guess what? If you're highly trained, you can usually avoid fights. And that's
our goal with the Brain Warrior's Way. It's not to create, you know, people who are fighters. It's to create people who are healthy, who avoid the fight.
And who are willing to and spread that sort of message to their friends and family.
Well, it works better that way. When you do it and then you share it, what you're doing is you're creating your own support group. Because trust me, it's a paradigm shift. And initially people go, oh, why are you doing that? Oh, it's Friday. You worked hard all week. You know, let's go out and get drunk together. Let's go have, you know, ice cream together. You know, and what the research says is people get sick together or they get better together. And that's what we've seen people who do our program. The most successful ones do it with other people.
Well, and it's like, you know, when you first start, like, I was really into some of the food things initially early on before it was, you know, the thing to do. And, you know, so I helped Daniel with that piece of it. He helped me with some of the other parts, like alcohol is not a health food. Okay.
Yeah.
So we help each other. And initially, you know, the rest of our family, including our 13-year-old, really pushed back. So if you're not doing it together, it's really hard. But now she's so on board. She's such a warrior. Do you think it's easier or harder when your family is helping you or when they're fighting you?
Yeah.
It's a lot easier when you have a tribe that's behind you.
Yeah, I can see that. I have a 13-year-old, so I know a little bit about pushback, too.
Right.
So, and you know what? I one of the things I liked about your book, you have some great examples and also some very practical ways to go about achieving the goals.
Yeah, it doesn't need to be difficult. So I'm sort of a jump the canyon kind of person. You can't cross a canyon in two small steps, and I just want everybody to do everything. But I realize everyone's not going to do that, and a lot of people feel overwhelmed. And guess what? You get there, you can finish a journey really well by taking one step at a time. And what we have found is that a lot of people are more like that, and they do much better. And don't get overwhelmed if they do one tiny step at a time. And that's okay.
Yeah. And you do talk about the different kinds of personalities of people who, some who I want to jump in and try everything and at all at once, and others who take the sort of the longer view. And I guess it can work either way, but it, for most of us, it's probably a step at a time.
And that's okay.
Well, it depends on how sick you are.
Yeah.
So there's two stories in the book. One is Nancy, who's she bought the book when she bought another book of mine when she was 80. And
I love this story.
She let it sit around for a few years, but she was depressed, a couch potato, overweight, isolated, uninspired, is what she said. And then when she read it, she said, okay, well, I'll just do one thing at a time. And so she started drinking water, and she felt better. And then she started walking and felt better. And then she started eating right, and then taking supplements, and then new learning. And the time I had met her, she was learning three languages, had lost 70 pounds, and had radically changed her life over a period of a year. And I was so excited for her. But then my dad, which is the last story, my favorite story in the book, is he was sick, and we were worried we were going to lose him to heart failure. And he'd always fought me. He's like, you know, I'm too old. Leave me alone. I'm never going to be like you. Yeah, I get heart attacks. I don't give them. And one day he said, I'm sick of being sick. What do you want me to do? And he just did everything at once. And within 4 months, he was radically better.
Oh. So the point of those two stories is two things. Number one, it's never too late to start. But the other thing is, one was chronically just not feeling well, and the other one was really acute, and the feet were in the fire, and it was time to do everything all at once.
Yeah, amazing stories for sure. Are talking today with the authors of The Brain Warrior's Way, Dr. Daniel Amen, double board certified psychiatrist, professor, and Tana Amen, registered nurse and vice president of Amen Clinics, and the author of 6 books as well. I'll give you a chance to join in right now. Our lines were down for a time, and they're now open, so I hope you'll join in. The number to call, 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. You can email us at talk@WPR.org or go ahead and post on our Facebook page titled The Larry Mueller Show. I'm Larry Mueller. Jill Nadeau, our on-air producer here on the Ideas Network. Coming up at 11:45, we'll be talking with the author of a cookbook that features quick and healthy 4-ingredient recipes. I hope you can stay with us for that. Right now, talking with Dr. Daniel Amen and Tana Amen, authors of The Brain Warrior's Way. And lots of people want to visit with you, so let's go to the phones now. Sarah in Milwaukee, we start with you. Sarah, thank you for calling.
Hi, thank you. I have problems with the anxiety and not being able to sleep, and my doctor has had me on for years, high doses of Ambien and Valium. Those drugs do help. However, I am becoming more forgetful, and I always have to carry a piece of paper around to remind me to do things. And I'm wondering if downers or any other type of drugs can affect the brain in a negative way, and maybe I should try a different method to deal with my problems.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's the first thing that doctors do because it's the easiest thing for them to do. Here, you know, take Ambien, take Valium. And we're not fans of that. There's actually new research that those medications in some studies are associated with significant memory problems, even dementia. So in the book, there's actually a section on brain sleep robbers and sleep enhancers. So, Tana struggles with insomnia, and a combination of the right habits. So the room needs to be dark. It needs to be a little cooler. She actually wears earplugs so that there's no noise.
I wear an eye mask. But I also start my sleep routine about an hour and a half before I go to bed. So I have some calming teas, like soothing teas. I use quite a bit of magnesium and melatonin, some valerian tea. I like have a ritual that I do that really settles me down before bed. Don't use the gadgets because those get me wired and wound up if I'm reading emails.
Right, it's blue light that actually suppresses the production of melatonin in your brain. So on my computer, I have blue light blockers. Also have them on my phone. Now, just don't throw out the Ambien and Valium, but I would develop a plan on slowly decreasing those, really increasing the good habits, and then there's some supportive nutrients that you can do to help boost melatonin and help you sleep. One little secret is tart cherry juice has actually been shown. It has melatonin in it to help with sleep.
Sometimes a bath. But, sweetheart, can't she also, if one of the issues is anxiety, then not just focusing on the sleep, but also wouldn't she want to focus on treating the anxiety with some other things that she can do for
right.
anxiety?
Meditation,
right.
Hypnosis.
Meditation is my best friend.
There's so many ways to attack anxiety and insomnia. The problem is, you know, medications like Ambien and Valium, it's a short-term fix that have long-term problems. And these medications, and I've prescribed medications for 30 years, they're insidious in that they require your brain to need them. So it's sort of a bad relationship with medications for sleep, which is why I try to do everything possible with my patients before I go there.
Sarah, good luck, and thank you so much for calling. Appreciate your call. Annie in Appleton will turn to you next. Hi, Annie. Thank you for calling.
Hi there. Hi, Dr. Amen. I follow you on Facebook, and I got pretty acquainted with you, with your Change Your Brain, Change Your Body, and then your ultimate body makeover. And I just really applaud you for having such a positive message to give to people. My comment, I have just two. First of all, I pretty much embrace a ketogenic diet, burning clean, minimizing chemicals and refined carbs. And I find that if more people thought about what the impact of our diet on our brain instead of our body, it's so self-reinforcing when you no longer have brain fog and when you have just such clarity of thought, which is what I have found by pretty much embracing the ketogenic diet. I wanted your comments on that, and also you were talking about the blue light therapy, and I know that there's a couple of gyms now that talk about the red light therapy, and I wondered if you had any information regarding that.
All right. Thank you for calling. Maybe Tana can start on the diet part of it.
So I do want you to answer her question about the red light therapy, too. But the ketogenic piece is great for some people. Some people need to modify it and add some more smart carbs to their diet, because if you're anxious and you don't have carbs, it can actually make you more anxious and overfocused on the things that bother you. But minimizing refined carbs and sugar, absolutely, what you're doing is great. And if you have ADD or like impulsivity, that kind of a diet is fabulous. Does increase your energy like that. So good for you. And getting rid of those environmental toxins, fabulous. Detoxing from, you know, chemicals are absolutely critical. As far as the red light sauna, honey, why don't you talk about that?
So there's a lot of new research on using infrared light to help detox the body. And actually, I didn't tell you this. There's a new study using it on people with thyroid disease that it actually helped to boost the thyroid gland. And so it's really interesting. It's fairly new, so there's not a lot of studies on it. But, you know, one of the things I really like is, you know, we live in such a toxic society that having saunas, actually a huge study from Finland, people who had saunas three or four times a week had significantly lower incidence of Alzheimer's disease, and they thought it was because they were detoxifying their body. One more comment. I want to make one comment on the ketogenic diet. I'm a huge fan. My granddaughter actually lost her seizures on the ketogenic diet. My only concern is there's not enough medicine in that diet, because green leafy vegetables and brassicas like Brussels sprouts and cauliflower, you know, they'll sometimes take you out of ketosis, but they're absolutely essential.
So that's what I meant by modified. And that's why in these books, that's what I love about these books. They're the best of my work and the best of Daniel's work. And the cookbook is loaded with those types of recipes. Some of them are very ketogenic. And then there's the modification where you add the sides of the plant-based food. So it's heavily plant-based. So you can sort of mix and match that way. But we want you to get enough plant-based foods, because food is medicine.
So I'll just give you dinner last night, which was phenomenal. Tana has a great Brussels sprouts recipe. So we had Brussels sprouts and salmon, and then this thing she calls nutty butter cups, which is really healthy chocolate with almond butter for dessert. And I was just happy as a clam. The whole night. So you can eat in a really healthy way. It can be satisfying and delicious. And, you know, I never want to be in love with something that doesn't love me back. You know, a lot of people listening have been in bad relationships or in bad relationships. Well, you have a relationship with food. And, you know, do you love food that loves you back, that serves you, that gives you great energy and health? Or are you in love with stuff that increases your risk for diabetes, cancer, dementia, Alzheimer's disease, and depression? Mm-hmm. I love Tana, and she loves me back. That's why our relationship works really well. I don't ever want to be in love with food that hurts me.
You know, so I was attacked when I was 15 walking to high school. It was really scary. I was nearly raped, and I decided then I felt really scared, and for the first time I felt like a serious victim, and I hate feeling like a victim. I decided then I was not going to be a victim, so I started training. I love martial arts. I practice martial arts. And when I hear people say that, you know, it reminds me of, it's like, well, you love someone who's abusing you, who's hurting you, who is essentially attacking you, and it's not loving you back. It's an abusive relationship to that level, because sugar attacks you. It abuses you. So that's what we mean when we say, yeah, you love it, but that's like one of those really toxic relationships where it's beating the hell out of you. So
Let's, and Annie, thank you so much for that call. Before we take another call, maybe you could talk about the organization of your book, The Brain Warrior's Way, and how it can help people.
So we thought about it for a really long time, and we wanted to make it as simple as possible. So we organized it around the word mastery, because ultimately that's what we want people to develop, mastery over their brain and body. And M is mindset. This program is about abundance, not deprivation. But you got to get your mind right over it. Assessment, you can't change what you don't measure. Sustenance, which is the food and supplements.
We want you to eat to win, like a warrior would.
Training, what are the daily habits you do? And just a secret, there are many of them in the book, is start the day every day with today is going to be a great day. Because if you do that, your brain will find out why it's going to be a great day. Essence, which is turning your pain into purpose. It's our favorite chapter. They're just great stories, including Tana's story. Responsibility, which, you know, it's not just about you. It's about generations of you, your habits, your kids are watching, your friends, your family, your coworkers, and people are contagious. And why is, we wanted to stop the lie. You know, there's so many books out there, you know, 10 Weeks to Eternal Happiness, or, you know, the 10-Day Detox.
4 hours.
The 4-hour body. And we're like, stop it. You got to do this for a year. It takes time for people's brains to change, to rewire what you want.
Make no mistake, you're going to feel better really quickly. In 2 weeks, you're going to see significant difference. You're going to feel better, look better. But if you stop there, you might as well just do another diet, and the first three letters in the word diet are die. So let's not lie anymore. So you've got to be on a long-term plan that's rational with no gimmicks, and you have to plant it and let it grow.
You do talk about exercise as well. I know Greg emailed to ask the role of exercise and increased blood flow to help improve brain health. Also, he'd like to know about quantitative data on increased brain function with patients you've worked with.
So exercise is absolutely critical. That's part of the training chapter. Low blood flow is the number one predictor of Alzheimer's disease. And the best thing to attack and increase blood flow in your body is physical exercise. I know for Tana, it's an antidepressant.
It's medicine for me. It also, honey, talk about how it's like one of the main things or one of the best things for increasing BDNF.
So there's a chemical in our brain called brain-derived neurotrophic factor. Think of it as Miracle-Gro for your cells. And exercise is one of the best things to do it. But don't over-exercise. What I've seen on scans is that my extreme athletes, triathletes, marathon runners, they often have toxic brains because it's too much stress.
It's like oxidative stress, sort of like the rust on a car. So it actually robs you of antioxidants. You don't want to do that either. Exercise smarter, not harder.
And so, I mean, you know, think of it simply. We both like burst training. So go for a 40-minute walk, and during that time, take 4 1-minute periods and run, sprint. Or walk as fast as you can to really wind yourself, and then go back to a normal pace. We also both like weightlifting, because the stronger you are as you age, especially if you're a woman, it's frailty that kills people.
So I like the type of weightlifting where you do interval training in between. So interval training meaning you weightlift and then you do something to keep your heart rate up, like that intense thing you do. That's called interval training. And then things like karate or table tennis. I practice martial arts, and Daniel likes table tennis. Those are great for that anaerobic burst.
And also coordination exercises, because it works out a part of your brain called the cerebellum. I think of that as the Rodney Dangerfield part of the brain. It gets no respect, but it has half the brain's neurons. And when people do coordination exercises, it actually pops up their frontal lobes, which is involved with forethought, judgment, and impulse control. So exercise is just absolutely essential.
Let's turn to Ann in Milwaukee next. Ann, thanks for waiting. Hello. Ann, are you there? Well, maybe we lost Ann. Let's try Kathy in La Crosse. Kathy, hello to you.
Hello. I had a question about a supplement that started showing up a lot. It's called Rhodiola rosea. I have problems in the family with post-traumatic stress disorder and anxiety, and also have autistic children, and have found that it seems, well, what I've heard it does is it cuts out the cortisol production in your brain, the fight or flight hormone. So I was wondering, you know, I've seen a couple things in Science News and some other journals, but I haven't seen anything in a while. I was wondering if there's any more information out about that.
So I like rhodiola a lot, but I tend to use it for energy and focus. It gives you sort of a calm, but good focus for things like PTSD and worry and chronic stress. I like 5-HTP and saffron. So the spice saffron has, I think, over 20 studies now showing it's an effective antidepressant, and it also helps memory and has been shown to be helpful for PMS and mood. So there are a number, and we talk about them in the book because I'm a huge fan of supplements because they tend to have fewer side effects than the medication.
When people say there's no research, we always just kind of laugh. It's like, do you read?
Right. There's a lot of research. If you went on PubMed.com, which is, you know, it's where all the scientists go, and type in saffron, and rhodiola as well. I'm a fan of both of those natural alternatives.
Kathy, thanks again for calling. Christine in Milwaukee, we'll turn to you next.
Hi. I have a question. I've been told that I have an autonomic dysfunction that has to be hereditary because it's so widespread through my body. And I've been reading that it has a lot to do with your brain and your spinal cord. And then throughout the years, my joints are all disintegrating. I've had both my hips replaced 35 days apart. I had half a shoulder put in because there was no socket or bone left to put the other artificial socket into, and too much bone loss for cadaver bone. Even my thumbs have moved towards the inside of the palm of my hand. It is every joint in my body.
Mm.
Yeah, it sounds like you have an autoimmune disorder where your immune system has actually sees your own body as foreign tissue and is attacking itself. One of the things I would do is I do everything Tana talks about in the Brain Warriors Way cookbook to really get on an elimination diet. And people think that's hard, but it basically means you eliminate anything that could hurt you, gluten, wheat, corn, soy, dairy. And the results we have seen. And people go, oh, but there's not anything to eat, and like 10,000
things. About 400 recipes.
Right.
And they taste great.
But there are certain foods that actually do have been shown to trigger autoimmune reactions. So those are what you want to start avoiding.
Okay.
If I was you, that would be the first thing that I would do, because it's not like, you know, you hurt your shoulder playing tennis. It's like every area of your body's in trouble, which means your immune system has gone haywire.
And I had that same problem, which is part of why I was so sick. And when I got sick with one thing, it's like a sweater unraveling. And I don't know if you've experienced this, but it's like once one thing goes wrong, a lot of things go wrong. So that's why this is so critical.
Good luck to you, Christine. Thank you so much for calling.
Thank you so much.
Yeah. Chris in Oshkosh, thank you for calling. Hello.
Hello. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I had heard, or probably actually on NPR probably heard, that the body actually has brain cells throughout the body, like the heart has a cluster of brain cells and other throughout. So is the brain not basically throughout the whole body as opposed to just on top of your head?
Well, it has nervous tissue throughout your whole body, and that's how it communicates with itself. But you don't want to be hitting your head. You hit your head, and I talk about it in the book of the big NFL study showing high levels of damage. You want to be really careful. The 3 pounds of fat between your ears is critically important. But at the same time, Pan is pointing to her stomach.
Yeah, your gut-brain connection, we have discovered, is just hugely important for every part of your life.
Right, and so you want to honor every part of your body because, quite frankly, if your kidneys don't work, you're going to build up toxins, and that will damage your brain. If your heart doesn't work, you won't have blood flow, and the brain uses 20% of the blood flow in your body. So obviously, and I think your point's really great, is every system works together to create who you are.
But the gut and the brain communicate directly, and if you damage your gut, it directly affects your brain in a very negative way.
There we go, Chris. Thank you so much for calling. Appreciate your call. Brenda emailed to say she has restless leg syndrome, which makes it difficult to meditate. She's trouble sleeping. And you have talked about some, and in the book, you have many, many tips for getting a proper night's sleep.
Well, it's one of the most common causes of insomnia, and it not only affects you, but it can affect your partner as well. And one of the things we really like is high-dose magnesium, like magnesium glycinate. It's the first thing I use with my patients, and I'll push it up to even 1,000 milligrams to see if it won't calm that down.
So magnesium, the book we've been talking about is The Brain Warrior's Way. How's it? I hope it's doing well.
It's doing phenomenal. What we really love is the stories of how it's changing people's lives. And we're about not just selling this book, creating a movement to take back the health of our society.
Well, it's been a real pleasure talking with you both today. And on our Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show, we have a link to your sites. I want to thank you both so much for being with us today. I hope we have a chance to talk again.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Yeah. Daniel Amen and Tana Amen, The Brain Warrior's Way is the title of the book. They also have a cookbook, the Brain Warrior's Way cookbook as well, and several others, as a matter of fact. Daniel Amen, a double board certified psychiatrist and president of Amen Clinics. Tana Amen, a registered nurse and VP of Amen Clinics. And you can learn more, of course, by going to their sites and taking a look at all of the work that they are doing. Certainly, food and nutrition came into play here as we visited with them. And we are going to kind of continue talking about food and nutrition with our next guest, Nancy Hughes, nationally recognized author and food consultant, and the title of her book is The Four Ingredient Diabetes Cookbook. That next here on the Ideas Network.